You're listening to Play It Again, Swig. I'm Jocelyn Swigger, and I'm trying to learn all the Chopin etudes. I'm also trying to balance hanging out with my toddler, teaching full-time, and life's other distractions. This is my audio diary of that process. Well, it's Friday, September 26th, and I've got kind of a cool milestone today, which is that I am playing a concert at a retirement home, and I'm going to play Opus 25, which I played at a retirement home a couple of weeks ago for the first time, and I'm going to play the Three Little Nouvelles Etudes for the first time. So today, after today, I will have performed all of the Chopin Etudes. So I'm pretty excited about that. I am positive that by today I will not have performed all of the Chopin Etudes well, or certainly not as well as I want to perform them, because I still have miles and miles and miles to go before I sleep. And I wanted to talk to you about a couple of those places, but I'm sort of excited about starting to think, I mean, I've been thinking about this for a while, but starting to think about these pieces as a whole and not just as, you know, 27 really intricate, difficult pieces by themselves. I don't know how much I've talked to you about this, but one of the things I've been sort of thinking about a lot lately is the idea of arc. And I've been thinking about my experience with other art forms, especially theater and film and TV, actually. But I've been thinking about how I, of course, love exciting moments, but the thing that really, really, really makes me just go nuts for an evening at the theater or a movie or a season of a television show or a book is if I feel like it has a satisfying arc, and if there are things that show up in one place that kind of come back, and if there's sort of a payoff, which is a little bit different from arc. That's kind of a plot thing. Anyway, I've been thinking about how I can make sure that my performance of all of these 27 etudes has that. And so one of the things I've been really thinking about, just in terms of arc with the Opus 25, is that it's kind of strange, actually. I mean, once you get past kind of all of the difficulties, right? Like, obviously, they're all really hard, as I complain about all the time. But, you know, once you get kind of past that, they're pretty cheerful for quite a while, right? So you have the first one. And then you have the second one, which I can't remember if I told you. I found out is nicknamed the Bees, and I was just totally charmed by that. Right, so it's minor, but it's, you know, it's not exactly hugely melancholy minor. The third one, I think, is quite fun. Right? The fourth one, when I can do it well, is quite fun. That would be, of course, true of all of these. Oh my gosh, I just practiced the left hand of this too. Ah! So that's sort of jaunty and fun. The fifth one, again, minor, but quite lively and sort of joking. And then it has, that one has this lovely, peaceful moment in the middle. And then it goes back to, which I think, you know, I think that all of this kind of thing, when I'm not playing it well, I think it can sound kind of fraught. But I think ideally it actually has a lightness to it. Number six is minor and a little intense, you know, this one. But then it has these kind of champagne bubbles going up moments. Right, so we have this intense descent. I first learned this when I was like 15 or 16. And it feels so young, emo, you know, listen to a lot of the Smiths and the Cure is how this feels to me. But then it's got this. So it doesn't feel completely, there's definitely a sort of adolescent feel to it, but it's not completely depressing. The next one I think is actually quite sad, the cello etude, you know, with this. I mean, so that's a moment really of sadness, but the next one, again, if I can do it well, is quite fun. And then number 9 is also quite fun. Again, if I can do it well. Ugh, I just practiced this one too. Although, actually, I was mostly focusing on the left hand. Come on, right hand. Da, 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 da. Anyway, so we have, there's sort of a lot of fun things about these. And then we get to the tantrum of, which I may have called a tantrum last time. I might be repeating myself. But anyway, so we have giant tantrum, middle section, so sort of a moment of peace. Anyway, up to there, it's mostly been fairly positive, and I would say mostly fairly fun. So then we have tantrum, and then we have the winter wind, which I'm about to tell you about my big epiphany that I had, or maybe it's a teeny epiphany, but anyway, I'll take it. This one. Anyway, so I was thinking about that one, and then the last one, of course, is this big minor, which ends up minor. And of course, is mirroring the first one, speaking of the sort of arc things that come back. And it also, of course, is mirroring the very, 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 very first one of Opus 10, this one, right? So that actually is completely doing the thing that I'm asking of the artworks that I love the most. But so one of the things I was thinking about, especially with the winter wind, is, well, a couple things. One is, how can I not just kill myself from exhaustion playing it after playing everything else? And also, how can I not kill the audience with exhaustion playing it? So anyway, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about how weird it is that there's so much fun in the Opus 25 until suddenly everything goes dark and intense in, you know, Opus 10 with the octaves, and then the, right, and then, well, let me do, there we go. So I came up with an analogy that I think I like, which is that if this Opus 25 is like a movie, it's kind of like a caper movie. So you have, I'm thinking of like Ocean's 11 kind of thing, or even some of the older caper movies. I don't actually like The Italian Job as much as I feel like I'm supposed to, because everybody else likes it. But, you know, or like the Pink Panther movies where, I can't remember which one it is. Anyway, so where you get to sort of see the criminals planning the heist, right? So there's I feel like a lot of the whole thing is, you know, it starts, I don't actually have the plot worked out for this, so I'm not even going to pretend to talk you through that. But I think that once we get to here, actually number 6 is maybe where it starts feeling like there's a little more at stake. So who knows, you know, you might find out that the hero is actually avenging his father, or who knows. But so it's like fun, pretty fun, interesting planning, hijinks, and then you find out there's some more at stake, and then you have some moments of real importance about that. You know, this could even certainly be a love scene, but not one that you think is going to go very well. And then back to fun hijinks, and then you have the showdown of whatever that is, with here, like this could be, I don't know, that seems like a some sort of a fight or something. But then, and this is my big epiphany. Are you ready? oh, I've totally oversold it. You're not going to get much out of this. But I think that The Winter Wind, I think I have to think about it as being like a car chase. So that it's actually, so it's dangerous and it's scary, but that the real effect of it is that it's really exhilarating and it's really exciting. So that... So maybe that can actually sound exciting and fun instead of just slam, 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 slam. Oh my God, this pianist is playing for 5 hours. Will this piece ever end? Which is kind of what I've been afraid of putting the audience through. So one other thing that I thought was kind of interesting about that, and let me actually talk about the actual music now. So, okay, so The Winter Wind, it's 8 pages long. It's the longest one of the entire, every single one of them. And I tend to think of it as all loud and all sad, right? It's in A minor. But actually, and of course Chopin does this all the time. I should have looked for this earlier, but I'm happy that I sort of have thought about it now. The whole piece is really about, is it going to cadence in major or is it going to cadence in minor, right? So even from the very beginning, when he has this moment of stillness before everything goes nuts, where he has this. Let me show you what this is coming out of, actually, so you know this is coming out of the tantrum, right? So here we are. Wow, that was a terrible place to start, but that's okay. Okay, so we just had this B minor tantrum and yell, 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 yell. And then this is one of the moments in the whole set where it doesn't feel like it goes automatically from one to the next in a really organic, satisfying way. So we just had this chord, and the next thing that we hear is this. Which could go anywhere. We don't know how that's going to be harmonized. And then what we do get is this. Ah, C major. Now we're in church, right? It's a hymn. Everything is fine. After all that tantrum, no need to worry. But... So now we get into this whole major versus minor, right? So we started from, we have no idea, and then definitely major. That feels nice, but then we have uncertainty. So now here, without getting super yelly about it, we go minor. Still minor. Oh, so I'm thinking about too many things at once. But listen to this. Cadencing in major. Right? Happy. Back to minor. That was the end of the first page. Now we're going to head to F major. Don't worry about it if that doesn't mean anything to you, but just now we're in major. So, what are my notes? So I think actually you could maybe even make a case that if you hadn't just heard all of the yelling and all of the minor, that maybe you could make a case for this as being more fun than stressful. That would involve me being able to play the left hand, especially there a little better, but this is kind of jaunty, I think. Right? So let me add the left hand in there. This is still page 2. I think it's maybe much, 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 much lighter and happier. I don't mean lighter necessarily in volume, although he does give a couple indications about playing a little softer. I think maybe it's just not as intense as I've been thinking of it. Okay, so now here we are in E minor. And again, E minor. But here we're going to go to B major. There we are. Back to E minor. And now we're going to go to C major, which, by the way, is a relative major of A minor, if you care about that. But don't worry if you don't. And here we are, definitely going to C major, with a little tinge, but still definitely major. Now we are heading towards D minor. But here we have, here we're heading towards A flat major. And now we're going to head towards E major. And now we're going to start moving around and getting a little intense. Oops, not that intense. Here we're minor, major, minor, little sequencing. Here we're heading towards A minor, where we started. This is really getting ready to bring us back to A minor, minor, minor. So this note is the note that's going to bring us back. Right, there's our original motive, sort of in the hunting horn or something. And now we have just diminished chords, really heading towards A minor, but big tantrum. So in car chase terms, I suppose this could be like, I don't know, where the car is going to roll off the cliff or roll down the stairs or do something. And then this strange little moment of uncertainty that I kind of love, but haven't really figured out what I think of. Ugh, I also haven't practiced it enough. And here we are back to our original key, original music. This is the return to the main theme. Here we are back in A minor. Turning page. Here we are at page 7. This is just like the beginning. And here we go to E major, just like the beginning. Now we're back to A minor. I'm just going to show you the end of this. There it is again, that motive. So then here, this is a big, getting louder, too big climax, A minor. And then everybody descends together, more together than that. And then we end up with the original motive here in the bass. Oops. There it is. So here we are, minor, minor scale. So, the car chase analogy is, of course, imperfect, but it feels satisfying to think about it that way, instead of just feeling like it's yelling and yelling and yelling and minor and minor and minor, which is how I have been kind of thinking about it. So I'm going to play around with that idea. Okay, I also have a confession to make, which is that I realized, looking at 25 number 12, I haven't really practiced it, like, for years, maybe ever. I definitely practiced it like this to figure out what the chords were. So I certainly did that. That feels very familiar. But once I kind of figured out how to do that, it never really came back on the front burner. And I've been just kind of flailing my way through it. And so I was thinking about how to not make it seem so tired when you get to it. So I realized one thing is that I've been playing it way under tempo. So I've been playing like, instead of more like, and then the other thing I realized is that it was completely sloppy with 50,000 wrong notes. And so that made me think, oh, I should practice it. And so I did the sort of obvious thing of putting it together with the metronome and doing it like click, 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 click. Sorry, let me actually do the clicks like they'd be. Click, 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 click. Right? I did that one wrong. Click, 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 click. There, that one goes to there. And I just immediately could tell that I've never done that before. So I feel quite silly that I haven't actually done that with this one. But I have started. So it's going to, this one I'm expecting to improve rapidly soon. So those are the most of the things I wanted to kind of tell you about. I wanted to sort of walk you through Opus 25, number 11 like that. But I did want to tell you my plan for practicing for the next couple of weeks, because I've got a big performance of Opus 10 October 12th, I think, in Albuquerque. So if you're in Albuquerque, please come. And then I've got a big performance of the whole shebang, everything at, I think, Messiah College, November 2nd. So that's going to be my first kind of big air quotation marks, real performance of the whole concert as I really want it to be. So that means I need to be practicing everything every day. So my plan is, I'm going to run one big set every day and practice little bits of the other and then switch for the next day. So like this morning, well, I'm actually not doing a run today because I'm going to do a run in front of people this afternoon. But tomorrow I'm going to run Opus 10 and then practice Opus 25. And then the next day I'm going to run Opus 25 and practice Opus 10. And when I say practice, I mean 5 minutes a time of each piece. And I'll just decide exactly what I'm going to hit for those 5 minutes. So that way everything will be either touched or getting better every day. And that should work. I'm sure I'll find out more about how to make that happen. And whether that's going to be a good strategy or not, because I haven't actually started doing that yet. And one of the things that I'm going to definitely have to do is get up a little earlier. I've been so proud of myself of getting up at 6:30 and getting into the office by 8, so that I start meditating at 8 and then I start practicing by like 8:30. I think I need the full 2 hours because I start teaching at 10. I think I need the full 2 hours. So I think I have to try and get myself into the office at 7:30 so that I can actually be practicing by 8. Which means, just to come full circle, see how I'm doing this, because I said I liked the things coming circle. All of those nice books and TV shows and movies that I like to watch at night after my kid goes to bed, I think I just can't do any of that after 9 o'clock. I think I have to make a no screen after 9 rule. So I'm making that rule. Okay, no screens after 9, except on the weekend, because come on, it's weekend. But other than that, no screens after 9, because I gotta go to sleep so I can get up. All right, that's gonna be my plan. So that's it. You can find out more about this project at playitagainswig.com, or you can find out about me at jocelynswigger.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Jocelyn Swigger. I'd love for you to write an iTunes review or like my Facebook page. And thank you so much for being my practice buddy.